ಸಂಯುಕ್ತಂ ಪರ್ಯುಪಾಸತೆ
ಯಥೋಕ್ತಂ
ಪರ್ಯುಪಾಸತೆ
ಸದಧಾನಮತ್ ಪರಮ
ವಕ್ಷಸ್ಥೈವ ಮೇ
He who follows this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engages himself with faith, making me the supreme goal, is very dear to me. Please repeat. He who follows this imperishable path of devotional service,
this imperishable path of devotional service,
and who completely engages
himself
with faith,
making me the supreme goal,
is very, very dear to me.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
In this chapter, The Religion of Internal Engagement, the explanation of the process of transcendental service for approaching the Supreme Lord is given. The process is very dear to the Lord, and He accepts a person who is engaged in such a process. The question, who is better, one who is engaged in the path of impersonal Brahman, or one who is engaged in the personal service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was raised by Arjuna, and the Lord replied to him so explicitly that there is no doubt that devotional service to the Personality of Godhead is the best of all processes of spiritual realization. In other words, in this chapter, it is decided that through good association, one develops attachment for pure devotional service, and thereby accepts a bona fide spiritual master, and from him begins to hear and chant and observe the regulated principles of devotional service with faith, attachment, and devotion, and thus becomes engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord. This path is recommended in this chapter, therefore there is no doubt that devotional service is the only absolute path for self-realization, for the attainment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The impersonal conception of the Supreme Absolute Truth, as described in this chapter, is recommended only up to the time one surrenders himself for self-realization. In other words, as long as one does not have the chance to associate with a pure devotee, the impersonal conception may be beneficial. In the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth, one works without fruitive result, meditates and cultivates knowledge to understand spirit and matter. This is necessary as long as one is not in the association of a pure devotee. Fortunately, if one develops directly a desire to engage in Krishna consciousness in pure devotional service, he does not need to undergo step-by-step improvements in spiritual realization. Devotional service, as described in the middle six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, is more congenial. One need not bother about materials to keep body and soul together, because by the grace of the Lord, everything is carried out automatically. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 12th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of devotional service. Translation again, he who follows this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engages himself with faith, making me the supreme goal, is very, very dear to me. So this verse and purport summarize the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. We know that Bhagavad Gita is divided in sections. The 18 chapters are in three divisions, with first of all Karma Yoga explained in the first six chapters, and then in this middle portion here we have Bhakti Yoga, and the final six chapters are describing more on Jnana Yoga. Now some people argue that because the Jnana Yoga portion comes at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, that this must be more important, it must be more powerful. But we can see from the words here in this particular verse that it is devotional service which is superior. Lord Krishna explains that the process of jnana takes very long time, and generally the process of jnana is very troublesome. And Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavam Mam Prapadyante, that you can try to get knowledge for many, many lifetimes. You know, you have to be around a long time. You have to take birth again and again and again and make a little bit of advancement very gradually. And then after many births, when your knowledge is perfect, then what happens? Then Vasudev Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. Then we understand that Vasudev or Lord Krishna is everything. But as Krishna says, very rare. But the process of devotional service is explained here in this chapter. And Krishna has very clearly explained that of the two processes, the impersonal and the personal, the one who follows the personal path is much superior, is in a much better position. The impersonal path is very troublesome. In earlier in the 12th chapter, Krishna says, Klesho dikhatarastesham avyakta sakta chetasam. That if you're attached to the avyakta, to the impersonal, then klesha, lot of trouble, very troublesome. To try to be attached to the unmanifested. You know, if something is unmanifested, it's very difficult to be attached to it. You don't know what it's like. You know, could you imagine trying to be attached to something or someone that's unmanifested? Very difficult. So that's why we worship Krishna in his deity form. The deity form is a manifestation of Lord Krishna. So Bhakti Yoga is the process of becoming very dear to Krishna. We can become very dear. We have a relationship with Krishna. In this 12th chapter, Lord Krishna had also described different stages of taking up devotional service. He explained what you can do, what is the best. You know, best is to fix your mind on him totally, without deviation. But that's very special, you know, who can do that? You know, that. So then he says, but if you can't do that, then he says, then try to practice regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. The regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga are described by Srila Prabhupada in the purport to that verse. He said what you have to do is wake up early in the morning, have a bath, and then you go and collect some flowers and you offer your arti to Lord Krishna, make a puja, offer arti to Lord Krishna and chant prayers and songs, and then you can make an offering, do some cooking and offer your food to Krishna. And then you should chant, you have to also chant the holy name, and you have to also study the scriptures. This is the essential parts of bhakti yoga. Probably many of you are doing these things every day, you see. So bhakti yoga, we can just simply engage it. We don't. It doesn't require a big change really in our life. You know, just to find a few flowers, maybe a bit harder here sometimes, right? In another month, I'm told it will be very hard. Yes. When it gets real hot, you won't get any flowers. So anyway, you have to, even if we don't have flowers, you'll have to offer them in the mind. You know, you can offer within the mind if you can't get flowers. Some places are like that. But it's not an obstacle to devotional service. Devotional service is so nice, we can do it anywhere without any facility. You know the story about the person who went to the lecture, he went to the katha, and he heard that one can serve the Lord in the mind. Use the mind to think of God, right? You think of Krishna?
Yes.
You think of Krishna Prabhu? Yeah. How do you think of him? What form? You have a favorite form? You think of, you prefer Lord Nisringadev? Ladu Gopal. Oh. What about you, ladies? You like Ladu Gopal? Or do you like Nisringadev? Not decided yet. You're still thinking, well, okay. You liked everyone. So, the yogi, this person went to the lecture and he heard, we can worship the Lord in the mind. Even you don't have any arrangements, any facilities to worship the Lord, you can do the worship in the mind. So this person, you know, he was just a sadhu. He had nothing. He was very detached from the world, very renounced. And he thought, oh, I will do that. I will worship the Lord in my mind. So after the lecture, he started to do worship for the Lord every day. Every morning, he would wake up. And he would take a bath. He wouldn't avoid, you know, the things he could do, he would do. But he didn't have any deity, he didn't have any arrangements for cooking or offering worship or anything. So within his mind he began to meditate on worshipping the Lord. And he, you know, he arranged all the paraphernalia for the aarti. He got some nice ghee, made the ghee wick. And then he got some nice incense and found some nice flowers, and he thought about the most fragrant flowers, and he collected some flowers in his mind and arranged for. Then he offered the aarti, and in his mind he was offering the different items. You know, when we offer the aarti, starting from the lotus feet of the Lord, and then working up the thighs, and then on the navel, and then the chest, and then coming to the lotus face and offering each of the items and going to the different forms of the Lord in his mind, which he was worshipping. Radha and Krishna, you see, worshipping the divine form. Then after he offered the aarti and everything, then he would cook for the Lord also in his mind. And he would cook many different preparations. Right? What's your favorite? What do you like? What kind of prasadam do you like? What's your favorite? Do you like sweets? You like sweet balls? Do you like, what else? Sweet rice? Samosa? Gulab jamun? Cake? That's cool. Bengali? So he was meditating, doing all these things. If he was making rasgulla, he would meditate, get the nice cow with the best milk, and milk the cow, and then boil the milk, and then make the cheese from the milk, curdle the milk, and he would do it all in his mind, and then he has to knead the cheese, make the cheese nice and soft, and then make a ball, and then boil it, and make the rasgulla, and this way he would offer, you know, many nice dishes to Krishna in his mind. So he did this. Yeah. Oh, and then he would collect the water also for the deity. He would meditate on going to the holy rivers. Yeah? What are the names of the holy rivers? You know some holy rivers? Ganga, yeah. Yeah, he would go to, huh?
Yamuna,
yeah. Any others? You know some of the South Indian holy rivers?
Kaveri,
yes. Godavari, yes, very good, right. So he meditated, collecting water in a big pot, big lota from the holy rivers and bringing it and, you know, washing the deity, doing abhishek for the deity with these holy waters. And like this, he spent his whole day, he was just absorbed in worshipping the Lord and doing all of these nice services for the worship of the Lord. And did it for many years like this. He spent his whole time for many years worshipping the Lord. So one day, he was cooking a feast for the Lord in his mind. And he was cooking the payasam, right?
Yeah.
You know that payasam? You like that? Oh, everybody. So he was cooking the payasam. And you know, I don't know, is it the same as sweet rice? You know?
Yeah.
Right? So he thought, it should not be too hot to offer to the Lord. It should be cool a little. So he put in his meditation, he thought, I'll just put my finger, he put the finger in to see if it's hot or not. And whoa, burned the finger. You know, so he was surprised. He, you know, he was thinking, wow, finger was all red and black, became black when you get burned, you know. He touched something hot. So he was surprised, he thought, my goodness, how is this? You know, because he was only doing it in his mind. So he was thinking, how I could burn my finger? So like the Lord was watching, Lord in Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan was watching all of this, and he was laughing. He was having a good time. So he saw this man with the burned finger, and he thought, now he should come back home. He sent airplane from Vaikuntha to bring him back to God. So like this, this was his service was in the mind, but the Lord was accepting it. So this is of course the most confidential knowledge. In the ninth chapter, Lord Krishna had also explained this Raja Vidya. Yeah, engage our mind in thinking of me. This is devotee. You see, we use our mind. We have to think of Krishna within the mind. And we don't just think of, oh, Krishna's very beautiful. But we think how to serve Krishna, right? We want to serve him, offer some service for him. So like that, Prabhupada was always thinking how to spread Krishna consciousness. How to distribute the message of Krishna to more and more people. Prabhupada was always dreaming about different projects we could have. He said when he went to America, he did not have anything, but he would tell, if he met people, he would tell them that in the future we will have many temples, and we will have farm projects, and we will have communities of devotees. We will have restaurants distributing the Krishna Prasadam, and we will have many different literatures published in all the languages of the world, and there will be Harinam parties going everywhere, chanting the holy name. Like that, Prabhupada was thinking of all different programs to spread Krishna consciousness. Just like Prabhupada had the life membership program, you know, this to attract the businessmen that they could also do some service for Krishna. Wealthy people that they may not want to give their time, but they could use some their money, their hard-earned money could be used for Krishna service. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, 100 years before Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also wrote his Namhata, the marketplace of the holy name. And he describes, you know, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was preaching 100 years ago before Prabhupada. That was in, you know, that in that time most people lived more in the countryside. Cities were not so populated as they are today. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was preaching much more in the countryside, going to village to village around Bengal and Orissa, preaching there. So he describes, you know, how to organize the Namhata, how everyone can be engaged in Krishna consciousness and what the program should be. So Prabhupada also tried to incorporate these things also in his preaching in Krishna consciousness. Just as Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes how he would go in a village and he would gather the people and then they would have kirtan. And then they will read some Bhagavad Gita, discuss the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, and then distribute a little prasadam like this. This was Krishna conscious program. So Prabhupada also went to America and he followed the same process, the same kind of system. But he was also thinking of more and more ways to expand Krishna consciousness movement. Because this is the mood of a devotee, thinking how to serve Krishna, how to give pleasure to Krishna. In the material world, everyone thinks how to please myself. What's for me? What are you going to give to me? Is this for me? What's for me? We think about I am this body and I want to satisfy my senses. What are you going to give me? But a devotee thinks, what can we give Krishna? What to give to Krishna? How can we please Krishna? So material world people are selfish, but devotees are selfless. Devotee is not selfish, a devotee is selfless. He does not think about himself, but he thinks about Krishna. Because everything belongs to Krishna, right? You know, this is the peace formula in the Bhagavad Gita. The peace formula has been given at the end of the 5th chapter. You know that verse? Bhoktaram yagna tapasyam. Have you learned that verse yet? No? Bhoktaram yagna tapasyam sarvaloka maheshwaram Suridam sarva bhutanam yadvamam shantim richati. Shanti, right? Everybody wants peace. We often hear shanti, shanti, shanti. Peace. So this is the peace formula in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna tells us how we can be peaceful. But a simple formula. We have to know three things. Very important. Right? Ready? Can remember three things? Today, yeah? The first thing, everything belongs to Krishna. Right? First thing, everything belongs to Krishna. Right? Nothing is ours. It's Krishna's. Did we bring anything with you when you were born?
No.
No? You were not born with earrings? Like Karn? No? Karn was born with earrings, huh? And kavachas. We didn't bring anything. We can't take anything, right? We have to leave everything here. And then the second thing, everything is for Krishna's pleasure. Everything is for Krishna's pleasure, right? Because it belongs to him. So it's for his pleasure, for his enjoyment. Not for ours, it's for Krishna's enjoyment. We offer everything for him. If it belongs to him, he enjoys it. And the third thing is, Krishna, the most important thing, Krishna is our best friend. Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. There are different words for friend in Hindi language, right? But this is a very special friend. Very special friend. One very dear friend. You know, in the material world, you have friends here in Bahrain, but sometimes you go to India, you have different friends, right? You have friends when you're in the school, but when you grow up, you have a different friend. Then when you get married, then you have different friends, right? You know, friends, they different, we come and go, you know, we get changes in our friends. But there's one friend, he's always with us. He never leaves us, right? He is the real friend. He has been with us, not only this life, but for many lives, he has been with us. But we don't remember him very much. It's hard for us to remember him. So we have to understand devotional service is to make us more aware of our real friend, our best friend. And Krishna is saying here also in this verse that we will become very dear to him when we start to appreciate him more. We show our appreciation for him by service. Now, what service can we do? We have said we can serve Krishna in many ways in the mind, but sometimes it's difficult for us to focus the mind like this, to just use our mind only. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya has taught us a process of serving Krishna, which is more practical than just trying to meditate and control the mind and serve Krishna. Cooking, you know, if we have to cook in the mind, you know, you may get tired of it one, you know, after a day or two. You don't do it. But if we chant Hare Krishna, if you do this chanting, if you take up your bead bag and you start chanting, then this is a very powerful service. And this will certainly get Krishna's attention. And also, if we do this chanting, the more you do it, the more you get a taste for it. It's not so difficult as the other types of meditation. Just thinking of Krishna and cooking and serving him in the mind and bringing water from the rivers and so on. You could do that a little bit, but it's not so easy to do that every day. But chanting, if you get in the habit, you can get in the habit to do this every day. It doesn't take very long to get a habit in chanting. And it becomes very pleasurable. You can enjoy it. And this is real service to Krishna. This is the recommended process for serving Krishna in this age, in the Kali Yuga. Because this age is not very auspicious. The Kali Yuga, right? Kalir Doshani Deirajan Astihi Eko Mahatuna Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parambraja. The age of Kali is an ocean of faults. Many bad things, many problems and faults in this age. But there's one good thing, that simply by chanting we can get all perfection. So this is the process of devotional service which is encouraged. In the talks between Lord Chaitanya and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, after he surrendered to Lord Chaitanya and accepted Lord Chaitanya as being an incarnation of Krishna, then he asked Lord Chaitanya, of all the processes of devotional service, what is the most important? And Lord Chaitanya replied, chanting the holy name is the most. So this is our first business in the day. Every day when we wake up, we should think, okay, today I have to chant good rounds. I have to do good chanting. Wake up in the morning and where's my bead bag? Let me start chanting. This is a good way to start the day. Make the day auspicious by chanting the holy name. So are there any questions? Thank you. So you're all chanting? Yeah? How many rounds you can chant? Ten. Make nice doing kirtan.
Maharaj, sometimes people who are not introduced to Hare Krishna movement, they feel that this movement is very difficult because they see devotees giving up on so many things. They feel this process is very difficult. How to address their concerns?
Giving up so many things. Yeah, we're giving up so many bad habits. You know, we're giving up the bad things to take up good things. We have to just takes a little intelligence to understand what is actually good and what is bad. This is the difference between the devotee and the non-devotee. You know, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes that. They do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. They do not understand what is proper cleanliness anymore. Eating pure foods, eating clean foods, you know, not foods which are all blood and so many things. So yeah, people have to be a little bit introspective. They have to be a little, there has to be a little understanding there. In the purport here, Prabhupada spoke about the mercy of the pure devotee. But it's not that we can just only expect that just by the mercy of the pure devotee, anyone can become devotee. Maybe in the case of Lord Chaitanya, he could make anyone into a devotee. But it's not that you can just expect to, you know, turn anyone and everyone into a devotee. Devotional service is open, but it's not that everyone will accept. There's a saying, we can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So we give people the opportunity for devotional service. Some will accept and some won't, a lot won't. We should not feel discouraged. We're doing our duty. You know, just like there was one devotee, he was with Prabhupada in India, and he was telling me he went on a program with Prabhupada. They went to visit some, I think it was a king somewhere in India, and they had been invited there to the king's place, and they had a program. And then Prabhupada said to the devotee, he said, I want you to introduce the books to the man and ask him to purchase our books, a set of our books. So the devotee spoke about the books and presented them and everything, and asked the person, the king, to, he should purchase a full set of the books. But he said, no, I don't want. So then the devotee asked afterwards to Prabhupada, he said, did I say anything wrong? You know, that wasn't my fault. I didn't say something, didn't do a very good presentation. And Prabhupada said, no, it was all right. He said, you spoke nicely. He said, one who knows the price, one who understands the value, then they will purchase. So like that with devotional service, it's not that there's some secret formula that we can attract anyone and everyone and get them to become a devotee. You know, it depends also on their own position, their own state of mind, if they're willing to accept, to take up that Krishna consciousness. We try our best and depend on Krishna. You cannot be attached. We have to look for people who are better candidates. You know that in preaching, you try to look for people who are more suitable candidates. Sometimes, you know, if you see somebody, you know that you know they smoke a lot and they're drunkards and they have all bad habits. You try to make them a devotee. It's going to be pretty difficult. It'll be pretty hard. Although sometimes it does happen. I was in Bombay this time, and at the Juhu Temple, one devotee was telling me, he told me that when he was married, he told his father-in-law that, you know, that your daughter's getting married to a man who's married to a whiskey bottle. You know, he said, I used to drink bottles of whiskey every day, you know, but then somehow, you know, he got attracted to the devotees and he became a devotee and he gave up all his bad habits. And both he and his wife, they were accustomed to doing, eating everything and drinking and like that, but they gave up these habits. They change. People do change. We can help them to change just by our example and by our preaching and like that. But it may not happen immediately. We have to be a bit tolerant. We try our best. We give people, we introduce Krishna consciousness to them. They may accept. But, you know, you see someone who's a bit more in the mode of goodness. They're, you know, interested in religious books, or they don't have so many bad habits. They may be a little easier to be a candidate for Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says to get people to become devotees who are meat eaters is not an easy thing. But the holy name is very powerful, and it can certainly change people. If you can give them the holy name, the chanting Hare Krishna mantra, it can certainly help a lot. You're planting the seed in the heart. Of course, not everybody wants the seed, and not everybody wants to hear the holy name. You know that person, Gantakarn. You know Gantakarn? Nobody in your class called Gantakarn? No? Gantakarn, Ganta, you know, Ganta Bhaji. Shankar Bhaji, Ganta Bhaji, Ganta, the bell, right? And Kudan.
Yeah.
Yeah. It put bells on the ear. You know why he put bells on the ear? He didn't want to hear Hare Krishna. Whenever the Sankirtan party would come, Hare Krishna, he would go, he would shake his head, and the bells would ring, then he wouldn't have to hear the holy name. Unfortunate person. Yes, could not hear the holy name. Made sure he didn't hear. He knew it very powerful. One of our devotees in China, she was telling me that she asked her husband to take some prasadam. He said, I don't want to get purified. So some people are like that, you see, they don't want to get purified. So they won't eat prasad. So we have to see who is more interested, who wants to get the mercy, and we give them more attention. Who's open minded?
That's the problem, Maharaj. Many of the devotees people are not open minded. Suppose if we specify, they don't come out with what say Krishna. They will not even ask why only Krishna. They will not open out. Become very stubborn. And freeze.
Yeah, well, very attached, you know, very attached to their sense gratification. And trying to enjoy the material world. Anyway, what is day for self-control? This night for all beings. The time of awakening for the self-controlled. Time of awakening for the self-controlled is night for the others. Like that, you know, what is our daytime? That's their nighttime, you know. They have a whole different vision of the world. You can't be discouraged by this, you know. You have to expect that. Different people, different types of people. Preaching, that's why you become dear to Krishna. You want to be dear to Krishna, you have to take up these troublesome duties. It's not so easy. to trying to find. Prabhupada said himself, he said he has to shed gallons of blood to make one devotee. We have to distribute thousands and thousands, lakhs of books to get a few people to come to the temple. And if a few from the few people who come to the temple, you know, the, out of lakhs and lakhs of people who come to the temple, to get one to become a devotee. You see, it's not so easy. Manushyanam sahasresu tasya tati siddhati. Out of thousands of men, only one is endeavoring for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So we have to understand that devotional service is rare. Devotees are rare. But still, we know Krishna's in everyone's heart. Why is it so difficult to make them devotees? Well, they're holding on. They're very attached to material sense gratification, to their material pleasures, what they think is enjoyment. So, Prabhupada also spoke about the owl. The owl, you know the bird, the owl? Yeah, what does it do? Huh? It's got big eyes, right? Yeah, it hoots. But, you know, it closes its eyes in the daytime and opens its eyes at night. Right? So then, at night, when it opens its eyes, the other birds come and say, oh, the sun was so bright today, it was so hot. And they all say, what are you talking about? I never saw any sun. Right? He said, I didn't see any sun because his eyes were closed. So how you can see? So people like that, they're saying, what God? Huh? Where is God? I never saw any God. Can you show me God? So they don't look, they can't open their eyes to see. So they cannot see God. But still we try to somehow give them some mercy. You know, maybe their children will come for the program. Maybe they like some cultural program. Maybe they like prasadam, something.
Reluctancy, especially towards Krishna. If we say demigod, I mean Ganesha or Shiva, they don't mind to come. But Krishna's temple, okay, tomorrow I'll make them. I'll see.
Today I'm busy. Hare Krishna. If Krishna consciousness devotee worships only Krishna, what is the position of a person who worships demigods as well as Krishna?
Well, it depends how they worship the demigods. You know, if they worship the demigods, understanding them to be part of Krishna, that's all right. That's okay. They can do that. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we learn about Maharaj Prithu, that he also worshipped demigods, but he understood that they are part of Krishna. He worshipped them as being a part of the Supreme Lord, and not being equal to the Supreme Lord. You see, but the problem comes, usually people think all the gods are the same. You see, and they think Krishna is the same as the other gods. And that's what happens in a lot of places. People just can't understand the difference that there's a Supreme God and there's others under the Supreme Lord. So if they're worshipping Krishna with the understanding that he is supreme and the devas are subordinate to him, and they can worship the devas with that understanding too, and worship Krishna as well. It's not wrong, but the problem, it gets confusing people. If somebody sees them doing that, then they'll think all the gods are the same. So some one devotee, he had the idea, we should also put Shiva beside our, if we put a Shiva temple beside our temple, then people will come because Lord Shiva's got more devotees than Lord Krishna. So we'll put a Lord Shiva temple here outside our temple, that people can all come and worship Lord Shiva, and then they'll come to our temple as well. But Prabhupada said no, because they won't understand. They'll think all the gods are the same. So have to be careful. But technically, it, you know, if one understands properly, you can do it. But it's not necessary. But that example is there. Maharaj Prithu worshipped the demigods, knowing them to be part of the Supreme Lord and not to be the Supreme.
How do you find in China? I read somewhere they eat human fetus also. But do you have that people in China?
Well, not only in China do they do things like that. You know, even in America they do things like that too. You know.
Oh, yeah.
In China they have, you know, everything is available. All kinds of fruit and vegetables. They have a wide variety of foodstuffs. You know, they're very organized in producing, and they also import some things as well. But generally, a country so big, they can produce enough. They produce everything. All varieties of fruits, vegetables, grains. Maybe far greater than many other countries in the world. And they have also efficient networks to distribute everything. As far as I'm eating human fetus, I don't know about it. But I know that this was going on in America. Many years ago, there was a restaurant even that was serving these things. You know, this is not uncommon. They have restaurants, you know, they're proud of how many varieties, different varieties of animals they can serve, you know. But Prabhupada, when some devotee Prabhupada was asking some devotee to go to preach in a country in the Far East, and the devotee said that Prabhupada, they eat snakes there, they eat dogs there, they eat those all kinds of horrible things. Prabhupada replied to him, he said, so what? He said, you're from America, in your country they eat cows. He said, it's much worse. Said, to kill the cow is much worse than eating the flesh of some snake or some dog or something. He said, if you kill a cow, that's a mother. He said, your country is most sinful. He said, you don't worry about preaching there. Why are you so worried? Why? What's the problem?
In something there, very little Rameshwar, the first chapter just said that Rama is praying Lakshmana. He made Lakshmana and
Lord Rama is worshipping Lord Shiva there in Rameshwaram. Prabhupada said one explanation Prabhupada gave. He said, Lord Rama is telling Lord Shiva, I'm going to kill your devotee. I'm going to kill your devotee. I'm going to Lanka to kill your devotee, Rama. Yeah. That's why he worshipped Lord Shiva there. Another explanation is that when he does the worship of Lord Shiva, you see, within the heart of Lord Shiva is the Supreme Lord. You see, there's a story actually. Gaur Govinda Maharaj used to tell the story that there's a Shiva Linga in some place in India, and the story goes that a Vaishnava was told by some Shivite that I want you to worship the Shiva Linga for me. And the Vaishnava says, no, I'm a devotee of Lord Vishnu. I don't worship Lord Shiva. I said, I only worship Vishnu. He said, if you don't do it, I'll kill you. You know, this guy was, you know, the Shivite was a very barbaric kind of Shivite person. And he threatened to kill this Vaishnava if you don't worship Lord Shiva for me. I want you to chant the Shiva mantra. So he began to worship, but while he was worshipping the Shiva Linga, he chanted Vishnu mantras. And so the Shivite got very angry and he was going to kill the Vaishnava. But from the Shiva Linga, Lord Nrisingadev came out.
Really?
And Lord Nrisingadev killed that Shivite. So how does this happen? Because within the heart of Lord Shiva is Lord Vishnu. So Lord Nrisingadev manifests from that Shiva Linga. So in that way, as I told the Mataji, you can worship the demigods as being a part of the Lord also. And the Lord is also in the hearts of the demigods. He's guna all the time, but he's in the heart of the deva, every deva. The Lord is situated in the heart of every deva. So Lord Rama worship Lord Shiva. You could say there are different explanations that I could let you. Another reason, which is also explained by the acharyas, is that Lord Rama wants to teach the common man by his example. That he's encouraging people that, you know, this is the proper thing, this is good to worship Lord Shiva. It's not that it's wrong. For common people, it's actually good. We want to encourage them in these religious practices. It may not be the highest, it may not be the highest thing. And, you know, we worship Krishna himself, but Lord Rama wants to set example for common people. That, you know, we should worship the Lord. We should do these things before you set off in some endeavor. So, for sentence, he wants to teach an example. There are many different ways we can understand why Lord Rama did that. But Prabhupada, he simply said, he's telling Lord Shiva, I'm going to kill your devotee.
South India, this Krishna temple is very small. All the other places, the Lord Shiva temple and all, there is a big temple.
Mm-hmm.
So people, after coming to Krishna only, you know, the Krishna is the supreme person of everybody.
Yeah. Well, Lord Krishna gave a benediction to Lord Shiva that his devotees would be more. Lord Krishna likes to see his devotee glorified. He wants to see his devotee glorified. So he gave this benediction to Lord Krishna.
What about Gita Mahatmya? Gita Mahatmya?
Gita Mahatmya? What about that?
It says, 28 verses, it is telling about Gita. And you say, Gita, I will become like this. Suppose if you recite one shloka per day, then you will become a Sivakana, or you will become a Vrinda. If you recite 18 chapters, then you will go to the last Sabbath.
So these are just to encourage people. To encourage people that
but you
should
finally it is written, if you read Gita, and if you didn't read this one, then you will not get this benefit in the later life.
If you don't read the Gita Mahatmya. Well, but Prabhupada gave Gita Mahatmya at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. It's just 7-8 verses. You can read it. It's very simple. In the introduction, you can see Gita Mahatmya there. You notice it? Have you seen it? Have you gone through the book?
Yeah.
So in Gita Mahatmya is there. Sometimes people say Prabhupada didn't put Gita Mahatmya. It should be there. It's there. It's in the introduction, at the end of the introduction. I don't know, it says, what is the Gita Mahatmya? It says that, you can see here. I don't know which Gita Mahatmya you're talking about. I don't know where that one's from, but there's a Gita Mahatmya here in the introduction. It doesn't mention about Indra and all these things. This Bhagavad Gita is just like a cow, or Krishna is a cowherd milking the cow. The milk is the essence of the race. That's all Gita Mahatmya.
Sarvapanishad.
Yeah, that one, yeah, right, yeah. This is all, this end here, the end of the introduction, this is all taken from the Gita Mahatmya. said, let there be one mantra, one scripture for the whole world, one God, all of that. This is all Gita Mahatmya. Just 7, 8 verses. I don't know which Gita Mahatmya you've got there, you're quoting verses. But that's Gita Mahatmya Prabhupada put in there.
Then all the Yadu dynasty also left along with him.
The Yadu dynasty went?
Also left this material.
Yeah.
So there was no Yadu dynasty at that time. And then how do we say that, okay, the deities installed in Vrindavan is by Krishna's great grandson?
Yeah, Braja Nastra, yeah. Well, not everyone. You see, the Yadu dynasty, majority, most of them all left, but a few remained. You know, like Uddhava remained, and we know that Brajanadi, he also remained because he installed these deities, the grandson. There were some people did remain, not everyone, but majority of them. You know, just like they had all gone to Prabhakshetra, but it must have been a few who didn't go. There must have been a few. Not everybody could just go there. So. And maybe he was very young at the time, you know, so very young children, they're not going to go. They were all drinking wine and fighting with each other. So very young children, you know, they're not going to do those things. So, you know, he must have been like that, he must have been very young or something. So there must have been a few exceptions. Definitely there were a few exceptions. Some of them remained.
People with the name Yadav in the end, are they from the Lalu Prasad Yadav?
I don't know.
Impersonal Brahman realization is they get liberated?
Yeah, they get the Yuja Mukti. They get the impersonal liberation.
They
get impersonal liberation. They usually have to come back. After getting impersonal liberation, they often come back because impersonal liberation doesn't satisfy the soul. Because in the Sayujya Mukti state of liberation, there's no activity. So no activity is very boring. There's nothing to do, you know. There's only the oneness of Brahman. Oneness. There's nothing to do, you know. No relationships, no activities. So the soul is not satisfied, and that brings the soul back into the material world. But there is a theoretical type of. It's called Sayujya Mukti. There is a liberation. But it's only theoretical, it doesn't last forever, you know. It's not eternal, it's not firmly situated in liberation because the soul, the nature of the soul is not recognized. So the impersonalists, they fall down again. There's a verse in the tenth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, spoken by Lord Brahma, describes that those souls who have neglected, they've not taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, so they come back again, they fall back into the material world. And we see that with impersonalists also, yogis and like that who renounce the world, they go to the Himalayas and they do austerity and they say everything is illusion, but they come back after some time and then they open a school or they open a hospital. They do some welfare activities. They take up welfare work. They cannot maintain that position of so-called liberation. Because the nature of the soul is to be active. And if you deny the activities of the soul, that is not going to last for very long. For some time, it can last. So they realize they're not the body, they're soul. So that is a type of liberation. But it's not complete because they've not fixed themselves in the relationship with the Lord. They've denied that. They haven't been able to distinguish between the super soul and the Jivatma, the individual soul. They only think, they've only realized, I'm not the body, I am a soul. But what are the activities of the soul? They don't know. They have no knowledge about the activities of the soul. They think this world is all illusion. Only the soul, there's only the soul. Only Brahman is real. But they don't know about the Parabrahma. They don't know about God, you see. So they have no information about spiritual activities. They think all activities are Maya. But they don't know there are spiritual activities. So Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna is teaching Arjuna about spiritual activities. Acting for the pleasure of Krishna. That's the spiritual activity. It may look the same, you know, we do the same activities as everybody else. You know, why is your activity spiritual? You know, I'm doing the same as you. Why you say you're spiritual and I'm material? The difference is in consciousness. You know, we act for the pleasure of Krishna, and they're acting for the pleasure of their body. So that's the difference between spiritual and material. Spirit means connected to Krishna. So they have only a little understanding of spirit. They've only understood Brahman. But they've not understood Parabrahman. They haven't understood the super soul. Different from the jiva. So this brings them back. They can get liberation, but they come back. They're not secure. There are five types of liberation. So the impersonalists, they can only get this sayuja mukti, merging with the Lord, becoming one.
All of them come back.
After some time, they have to come back. Yeah. You cannot remain there in that position of inactivity. This is the position of the impersonalists. They get the same destination as the demons who are killed by Krishna.
They also come.
Yeah, they also come. Yeah, they also come. Kamsa comes.
Okay.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.